But I want to explain it a little bit because anyone can get baptized here this morning. I just want to put it out there. Even if you don't have clothes, this is heated and it actually feels like a really warm bath. So if you haven't showered this morning and you go, you know what? Two for the price of one, I need sort of like a warm bath and a baptism at the same time. You are more than welcome to jump in. So anyway, welcome to C3 Stand on Easter. Happy Easter. It's a message that we can try and find all these messages through everything that we read and the gospel and the good news and we sing about it. But the truth is that we get to have freedom. We get to have freedom of our sins. We get to have this resurrected life with Christ because of what he did for us on today. We get to have relationship with him. We didn't deserve any of this. He did this because he loves us. That's why he did this. That's why we're here today. We're here today not because of Christmas. We're here today as a part of it. But we're here today because of Easter. Because without Resurrection Sunday, we wouldn't be here. If he just died and didn't rise again on Sunday, we wouldn't be here. So today is the whole reason why we all exist as Christians. So to be baptized today on Resurrection Sunday, because it says we die with him, we rise with him. There's something so significant, something so important, something so special that you're taking that today. And baptism, it means so many significant things. It's this public declaration of, I want to live the rest of my life serving Christ, him as my Lord and Savior. Now, we do that when we give our lives to Christ. We do that anyway. And it's by the blood of, we've sung all morning, it's by the blood that we are saved. We are not saved because of man's actions of dunking. But that is the next step, and that is the public declaration of that salvation, of the blood, of what we have chosen to accept and chosen to walk within our lives. So if you haven't been baptized, that is the next step that the gospel says to do. That is the next step that we are to do. It's no more identifying with our past. We can sometimes, so many of us can, and it can happen to us after we've been baptized as well, that we can identify ourselves with our past, our childhood, our traumatic things that have happened in our lives. We can identify ourselves with these things. But the truth is, when we die with Christ, it says we rise with Christ. We no longer identify ourselves with our past. We identify ourselves with Christ. What is true of Christ then becomes true of us. So everything he says that he is and all the power that he is lives on the inside of us. And that's how we are to live every single day of our lives. So when we go in the water, we're washed clean. We wash our past away. We come out. We're a new creation. It's a step. It doesn't mean we come out more holy. It doesn't mean, I've said it a million times, I thought when I got baptized when I was a younger person that I was going to come out all holy, baptized in the Holy Spirit, come out speaking in tongues. That did not happen. I thought my baptism failed. It didn't fail. I had given my life to Christ, but I thought all these things came with it. It doesn't. It's just a next step that we go, I'm publicly declaring that I am following Christ. I am a follower of Christ. And the rest of my life, I spend transforming and becoming a disciple of his. That's how we spend the rest of our lives. In Galatians 3, 26, 29, it says, so in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means that every day we wake up with his agenda, not our own agenda. Every day we wake up going, Christ, what do you want me to do, Jesus? Who do you want me to speak to today? What do you want me to do today? We clothe ourselves with him. When we get up out of that water, we clothe ourselves with him and we go, this is now your agenda. I live for your agenda. We're heirs of Abraham's seed. So now we are part of the redemption story. That's who we are. We no longer live for ourselves. We live for him. Colossians, I read this and I wanted to read this again to you this morning. So in Greek, baptism is baptismo. You submerge, you immerse, you go underwater. That's fully underwater. If you've been baptized as a child, amazing. That's what your family wanted to do for you. It's a family ceremony of going, yep, I'm going to do this for my child, dedicate my child to God. But the word says, the Bible says that we as people repent, turn, and are baptized. We can't repent as babies. We can't repent when we're a baby. We can't. I don't know anyone that can. There may be one day, but right now, don't know anyone that can. So when we are people that can know who we are in Christ, we repent, turn, and we're baptized. That's why we have baptisms when we are old enough to go, you know what, I know that I want to live the rest of my life with Christ. So Colossians 2, 16 to 13, I want you to get this in you because this is who we are because of today. And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this world, rather than from Christ. For Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. That's in each one of us. So you are complete through your union with Christ. You do that when you accept Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you come to Christ, you are circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ because of today. For he forgave all our sins. He cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it all away, I just added it all, by nailing it to the cross, which represents today. He nailed it all to the cross. We've been brought into union. The fullness of God lives on the inside of us. We watched Elton and myself on Good Friday evening, The Passion of the Christ. I don't know how many of us did that, but we did. And it's a mixture of, close my eyes, looking, sort of crying, going like, how can someone love us that much that they go through that? One thing, just there's so many things that stood out to me, so many things. But one thing I just wanted to bring out this morning, because we saw that when he got brought to Pilate, he was like, and quite a few times, I don't find this man guilty. I don't find this man guilty. Just so you know, I don't find this man guilty. But because of man and because of people-pleasing, he does it, right? But he says this one thing. The Jewish leaders replied, by our law, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the headquarters. Sorry, I think I said John 19, 7 to 11. Headquarters again and asked him, where are you from? But Jesus gave no answer. Why don't you talk to me? Pilate demanded. Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to crucify you? Then Jesus said, you would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. I want to say what Jesus said again. You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin. Jesus knew that man neither was the author or director of his life. But Pilate came in with a people-pleasing, I should have to do this because, you know, then I'm not a friend of Caesar. Then we're just going to come out in war and then people are going to be upset and blah, blah, blah. He disregarded what he knew he should do to what people wanted him to do. Jesus had no fear because he knew his authority came from above. This man tried to intimidate him. This man, with all of his pride of who I am, tried to say, do you not know I have the power to crucify you or I have the power to release you? And Jesus says, you have no power. And I want to ask you this morning, what do you fear? Because what you fear has no authority over you when you know the power that's sitting on the inside of you because of today. When you actually know who Jesus Christ is in you, that fear holds no bound over you anymore. If you leave here today just going, you know what? I don't actually need to fear this because of today. That's it. It has no power on you anymore. there's a meme on Instagram that says, oh, my husband told me how to conquer anxiety, just don't worry anymore. I wish I thought about that and then I'd be good, right? It's a bit funny, right? Because it's meant to be funny because we are people with anxiety. So we find this a bit funny because how do we actually do that? But the Word of God says, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. But fear comes with so many things. Fear is like the oxygen that intimidation feeds off, right? So then we people please. Then we try and do something because we think we need to, or we have this comparison in us, and so we need to do more. We're not enough, or we need to compare ourselves with someone, or we're intimidated by someone, or we're not enough for this, or we need to do this. He did this because of all whatever reason Pilate thought he needed to do it. He does it, but not because of what he felt and thought. But Jesus goes, you don't have any authority on me. Jesus had no fear for Pilate, had no fear of death, had no fear of suffering. It said he was troubled when he was in the garden. It said he was troubled, but he had no fear of it. He knew his purpose. He knew his plan. He possessed an authority that neither could be brought or beaten out of him. You have an authority in you. Who is beating it out of you? What fear is trying to take it out of you? Is it fear of rejection? Is it fear of not being loved? Is it fear of not being seen? Is it fear of death? Is it fear of injury? Is it fear of not being needed? Is it fear of being unwanted? Is it fear of not knowing your place? What fear is beating that authority out of you? Because today, he says, I've taken it from you. I've taken it from you. So really, we're going to get into baptisms now because there's so much significance in this baptism, but I don't want to leave it without actually for you knowing what's on the inside of you this morning. Because we all leave here on Easter and we go back to Easter Monday tomorrow. And our lives go back to whatever normality we have. Maybe it's a public holiday. And then the next day we go back to work or however, if you're on holiday, school holidays, however that looks. But our worlds go back. And we believe in Jesus and we go back to our normal lives. And sometimes that fear can grip us in however that looks. However that fear looks in us, it can grip us. But Jesus says no. He's in the point of death. And he says, you have no authority over me. You have no authority over me. No matter how low you are, no matter where you're at, nobody has that authority over you. That fear does not own you. Jesus lives on the inside of you. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you. Jesus understands you. Jesus saved you from death. Jesus is through you through your illness. Jesus is with you through death. He saved you from death. Jesus sees you. Jesus hears you. When you actually know that, nothing can make you fear. Nothing. Nothing can make you fear. When we think about the story of Judas, it's so real when we watch it, but when we read it, when we watch it, when we think about the story, you think that the enemy would just leave Judas alone. We spoke about this a few weeks ago, but he doesn't because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So even though he got Jesus, when Judas went in and goes, you know what, I have like done this blood of this innocent man and gives back the money, and the high priest is like, it's not my business anymore. He could have then, I wonder if he had just said, like Peter denies him, but then God goes and builds the church on him, right? So then you've got Judas. I wonder if he repented, if then he would have just gone, yep, okay, let's do something. But the enemy tormented him. That shame, that fear, all of that tormented him to death. Because the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy your life. Doesn't matter what he gets from you until the end. But it's up to us to go, I want to know what's on the inside of me, what's living on the inside of me, right? It's an interesting story to watch both Peter and Judas in their turnaround. God wants to build something on each one of us. Each one of us, he wants to build something on. So when we speak these words and when we're intimidated and when we have this fear, we speak these words, Jesus, you have already taken everything that I fear. I renounce fear's hold on me. By God's grace, I share in your victory. As you repeat those words, I share in your victory. I renounce the fear over my life and I give that to you. Then fear starts to just disintegrate. It starts to go. It's no more this intimidation that grips you, because it starts to just not have this hold on you anymore. When Jesus rose, as it says, over 500 people were eyewitnesses to see him over those 40 days. But he revealed himself to his disciples in a few different ways. By his word, breaking of the bread, like on a long road behind a locked door. There's some of us that are standing behind a locked door, walking on a long road, and he wants to come along and go, you know what, whether it's by his word, whether that's in all through communion, there's all different ways that he wants to go, I want to appear to you. I'm asking you this question this morning, what fear is behind either a locked door or you're walking down a long road, that you're going, Jesus, where are you? That he goes, I want to meet you exactly where you're at. And I want to face your fear with you and take that from you. Because that's not what I've put there. Fear decreases, intimidation decreases, and love increases. When we know who's living on the inside of us. So let's just bow our heads just before we do our baptisms. If you're here this morning and you're just here, but you've never given your life to Christ, and you go, I want to know what that love is that overcasts that fear, that overshadows that fear, that takes away that fear, and you've never given your life to Christ, or you have been so far away that you go, I want to come back. If that's you and you have want to make that decision this morning, you can just raise your hand and we're going to pray with you. I won't grab you at the front. You can just raise your hand. And you go, I want to do that exchange prayer this morning, and I want to give my life back to Christ. I want to walk with you, Jesus. I want you to take my fear. I want you to take my intimidation. I want you to take my sin. I want you to take everything from me that is not of you, and I want to live my life with you because you died and rose again for me. If that is you this morning, either walked away or never given your life, you raise your hand and we'll pray this prayer with you. And we're all going to pray this prayer together. But I'll just give a couple of minutes if you want to pray this prayer, if you want to raise your hand and you say, this is the life that I want to live with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. All right. Let's pray this prayer together, this exchange prayer. Let's all say this together. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose again to life. Today I choose to follow you from this day on. I exchange my life for the life of Jesus. I exchange my sin for his forgiveness. I exchange my sickness and brokenness for his healing. I exchange my worry and anxiety for the peace of God. I exchange my fear for his love, my oppression for his deliverance and freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. And for all those, yes, let's give a clap for those who gave their heart this morning. And for all those who are struggling with fear of something, I know that was like a very short message. But there's so much power in what Jesus did for you today. And what we all struggle with, we all struggle with something. And if you have fear of anything, being misunderstood, unneeded, unwanted, over death, over illness, over injury, being unloved, what anxiety, whatever your fear is, I'm going to pray over you this morning. Could have fear of a relationship breaking down, fear of what do I do next, fear of losing a job, fear of your future. There's so much fear that the enemy just comes in. He is the master of intimidation and the master of fear that just comes into us. He can come in to our minds and just go, yep, you've got that fear, I'm going to plant that in. And when we're not strong enough to know who's on the inside of us, that takes over. That takes over. We need to know who we are in Jesus. We need to know the power and the authority that we have in Jesus Christ that he gave to us freely because of today. He gave to us freely all of this, this freedom that we can live in, he gave to us. But we need to live up to who he says we are. We need to live up to who we are every single day because we're actually getting, we're robbing what Jesus did by living how we are in fear when we're not living to who we are in the agenda that he's given us because we're too fearful when he's already died and put that on the cross. So while our eyes are closed, thank you, Father. Thank you for everyone that is struggling with whatever they're struggling with, Father. We pray these words, Father Jesus, that you have already taken it. You've already put it on the cross. You've already embraced all of our fear and taken all of it, God. And we thank you, Jesus, that you put all your power, all your fullness already on the inside of us, God. May we live up to who we are in you, Jesus Christ, every single day. May we know who we are, Father. May you speak to us and meet us exactly where we're at, Jesus. We give our fear over to you. We give everything that goes with fear, whether that's intimidation, comparison, people pleasing, however that looks, Father, we give it over to you, Father. And that authority that you stand in, God, may we stand in. That authority that cannot be taken or beaten out of us or anything, can just not be removed. Like you stood there and knew exactly who you were and who you are. May we stand and know exactly who we are, and that authority cannot be shaken from us because our authority only comes from above. In the name of Jesus, blessings over every single person and our authority to be known in every single heart here today. In the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Can we get up? Rachel and Sian, please. Guys, you got to be a bit more alive than this. It's Easter. Yay! Yes. I'll grab the band up too. Yeah, thanks. They're a bit nervous to talk on. All right, I'm going to ask them in their words why they're getting baptized this morning. This is Rachel, everybody. Thank you. Okay.
I've got a whole testimony, so give me a minute. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Woohoo. Thank you. First of all, it is what an incredible day to be here, eh? And more importantly, to be here with you all. This week has been one for the books for me, not just because I got the keys to my first home, but also, thank you. But also because I took the next step into my journey with God, and finally get baptized. Woohoo! I grew up in church all my life, so God and I are not strangers. But as I grew up in my search for a deeper understanding of God and church, I got lost, and God and I got into a long distance relationship. Until recently, I truly didn't understand what my purpose in this life was when my life was a constant fight for survival. Sorry, I'm right-handed, so give me a second. It's all right. From being delivered by my dad in rural North Kivu, Congo, until I was 10 years old, I had become an asylum seeker, a refugee, survived a case of measles, contracted malaria regularly. Survived a rebel attack in our refugee camp that saw my dad being taken and injured, went through the endless process of a humanitarian visa, and watched my mother almost lose her life in childbirth. I struggled with my mental health since my teens to losing my youngest brother to mental health just 3 years ago. When my brother passed away, I honestly couldn't believe that it was him and not me. It's safe to say that God and I got into a lot of arguments about life and what it means to be here, living this life and still have faith. I'm gonna cry. Sky hit the nail on the head last week.
Sorry.
Hi, Juju. That's my nephew. Sky hit the nail on the head for me when she spoke about God and footprints last week. So many times I have looked back on my life and asked God, where was he? Why did I see just one set of footprints when I looked back at the most tumultuous moments of my life? I didn't realize that those were, in fact, his footprints as he carried me through it all.
My little tissue. Thank you.
My being here is no fluke. He worked through my parents, siblings, my wonderful brother and sister-in-law, Alex and Dorcel, and friends like Martha, who's here, to deliver me to this moment. And I am stubborn, so he did a lot of work to get me here.
That'd be great. Okay. Oh, sorry, y'all. Jeez.
My meeting with Tash is a hilarious story, as it was painful to simulate if you want to know that story. Tash and I's friend is not a believer, and yet she's the one who sent me to her when I expressed how much I wanted to reconnect to a church community. Oh, sorry, my dad is calling. Jennifer, my sister, the back, she's supposed to be calling them, but they're calling me. Tash slowly but unwaveringly supporting and cheering me on from afar, Instagram, didn't just happen by luck. God did that. I am truly, truly blessed. As per the meaning of my last name, Nyiramugesha, means blessed. And as I take this step, I know that I will stumble, I will fall and get up again, because not only will he be there to pick me up, I know that many of you here will be here with me as well. So, without all that being said, let's get baptized.
I just feel that since I was baptized first, that my walk with God has changed
so much,
but I just want to recommit.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's just I've changed the last year, 2 years, and yeah, I just want to recommit, and that's basically it. So
yep. Fantastic. All right, let's get baptized. All right, so Natasha, where is Elton? Gonna grab Rachel. Oh
my God. I shouldn't be alive. My future was 6 feet under, 1 foot in the grave, no hope to be saved. I shouldn't be alive. I'm a miracle child, defied every diagnosis, and as close as it came, I'm a miracle child.
Rachel, do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
If you're facing the odds.
Okay, Rachel, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, girl. Yes,
your wounds aren't too great. He's a miracle God.
I wrote out a little prayer for you, Rachel. Lord, thank you for your precious gift of baptism, a sacred moment where we can publicly declare our love and passion for you. We ask that your goodness and blessings be poured out on Rachel today. Today, the past is gone. They stand free and whole, lived and forgiven within the kingdom of God. Guide their steps, Lord, and fill their hearts with hope and vision for the days ahead. Work deeply within their hearts and soul, renewing and refreshing them daily as they walk with you. Amen.
Amen. Yay!
You're the living, breathing God of glory. I'm a living, breathing testimony. You're the one.
Amen. Don't go too far. Sian and Anton, let's jump in. Nice and warm. Right, Sian. Do you believe that Jesus is your Lord and Savior?
I do.
All right, by the profession of your faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amazing. It's warm in here. It's hot, actually. Lord, thank you for your precious gift of baptism, a sacred moment where we can publicly declare our love and passion for you. We ask that your goodness and blessings be poured out on Sian today. Today, the past is gone, Sian. Come on. And they stand free and whole, lived and forgiven with the kingdom of God. Guide their steps, Lord, and fill their hearts with hope and vision for the days ahead. Work deeply within their heart and soul, renewing and refreshing them daily as they walk with you. Amen.
Amen. All right, can I grab Rachel and... Can I grab Rachel and Sian over here in their wet towels? Actually, I'll get you on stage. Let's go on stage. Let's give them a clap, yes. So with Rachel, it's something we actually have not done in this church before. So Rachel came to both Natasha's. This is, who doesn't know, people who do not know Natasha. I'm sure everybody knows Natasha. So Rachel is here because of Natasha, right? And you can go find out the story. It's quite funny. You can go find out the story of how this happened with Rachel. We won't say it from the stage. But anyway, Rachel came to us and said in her family, in her culture, tradition, when she gets baptized, she names a spiritual godmother, Natasha, that is. Yes. And she also asked us to... collaborate and come up with a middle name. Well, God didn't give us the same middle name, but we have joined it together and we have a meaning for it. But it's on my phone, sorry. Can you grab my phone, please? I'm going to read this to you, Rachel. All right. You have two names together called Joy Ruth. The name Ruth has Hebrew origins, which means friend, companion, and compassionate. It's famously associated with the biblical figure Ruth, known as her loyalty, kindness, devotion. Ruth has long carried the connection of steadfast love, loyalty, and grace under pressure. And joy. The name joy comes from the English word joy, meaning happiness, delight, or great pleasure. It symbolizes someone who brings light, positivity, and cheer into the world. So together, Joy Ruth create a balance of loyalty, kindness, steadfast love, happiness, and delight, full of God's light with His grace through all circumstances. This is your certificate. And Cian, this is your certificate. Hang on, let's take photos. Where's Elton? Oh, can I get you up here? All right, hang on, Taz, let Elton and me grab a photo. Congratulations to you both. All right, now we have one more thing to do before we go and do our Easter egg hunt and sausage sizzle. Michael. So, hang on a second. I'm going to get Michael up here. All right, so Benji and Christine can't be here this morning. Benji has been unwell through the night. So Michael, for those of you who do not know, Michael and Christine are going over to Zambia on Wednesday, to permanently live like they were 4 years back before COVID. They were living there for 10 years, 8 years. Yep, around there. Well, move over, guys. We're getting waved at. So they're going back over to permanently live. They will still come here when they're here. I think August is the next time that they will be back here. But we always bless them out when they go back over to Zambia, to House of Hope. But this time it's going to be more of the other way around. They'll be permanent there, coming back over here and visiting, rather than being here and visiting over there. So we want to bless them out. Unfortunately, Benji was unwell. So please send the messages to say your prayers and goodbyes and all that sort of stuff, even though we will see them in about 4 months. But can I grab all the leaders up here? I don't think they need you playing. Do they need you playing? They don't need you. So if we can grab all the leaders just to surround them. We have made you something. So I'm going to read this out to you. Out to you. It's called Go Forth in His Name. They walk with worn feet on Zambian roads, Michael and Christine with young Benji in tow. With the weight of his call and their hearts set ablaze, House of Hope Africa awaits the coming days. No riches they seek, no titles to claim, just the joy of surrender to Jesus' great name. With eyes on the Savior, the Lamb and the Light, they stop for the One through day and through night. They lay down their lives not once, but each day. Love is their compass as Jesus lights their way. In places where few dare to go, in fields where the seeds of salvation will grow. Benji so young, yet born for this way. Why am I crying? I don't know why I'm crying. That's a bit weird. Yeah. How many times I've read this and I didn't cry? A light in small hands, a heart full of play. We know this child is a sign and a seed of God's faithful promise and all that they need. So Lord, as they go, we lift them in prayer, wrap them in favor, surround them with care. Let doors swing wide open where they've not yet knocked. and let every heart they meet be unlocked. Provide every need, every meal, every bed. Anoint them with oil. By your Spirit, let them be led. Guard them in travel and rest in strife. Bless their obedience and their yes to this life. Let Michael stand boldly with wisdom and grace. Let Christine bring healing, peace, and clarity in each place. Let Benji grow in joy and in truth, a child of the kingdom from early in youth. For the harvest is ready, the laborers are few, but you've called this family faithful and true. So we send them with love and heaven's refrain. Though we'll greatly miss you, go forth. We love you in Jesus' great name. Love your C3 Stand family. This is yours. We're going to pray for you. I'll land with Elton, so anyone who has something to pray over Michael.
Heavenly Father, we all stand here with Michael and his family. We give you thanks for the revival that they carry. Thank you for what you have put in their heart. Thank you that they carry you. May every step they make will be anointed by you. May every step they make will be actually taken before you take them before they go. Lord, may they be so close to you every moment. May revival come through them. May everything they need be provided. May miracles follow them. May everything, absolutely everything they need, will be provided to them as you anointed the way for them to go.
God. My turn. Sorry. Lord, the love that you feel for this family is amazing. And that love is coming down onto Michael right now. And it's your Holy Spirit is on him right now. And that love that's in him now is going to go out greater than ever before when he's been to Zambia, Lord. It's going to be pouring out of him and out of Christine and out of Benji, Lord. That love that flows will go out. And the people, when they go back, will say, what's different? What's different about Michael this time? What's different about the family? Because it's a greater portion of your Holy Spirit coming upon them as they go forth, as they put their hands out and touch and heal and bless and bring hope to the community. The hope that you have, Lord, is for them. Is for the community. Holy Spirit, double portion, triple portion, multiple portions of hope into this family, into Michael, into the community. More hope, more hope, more hope. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to say this, but with what Neil said, he just confirmed it to me. I get this sense that you're going to shake ground. Like as you step in, I get this sense of the ground shaking through the power that God has put in you and Christine while you've been here. It's like you've been digging deeper and just plowing at the soil. There's this depth that as you step into House of Hope and any other area that God has put in your heart in Lusaka, that the ground is going to shake. And as it shakes, like people's lives are going to be shaken by it in a way that you haven't actually seen it happen before in House of Hope. And just your obedience to step. And every time you step in obedience, that ground is shaking because of the power of Jesus in you guys and the plan that he has for this next season. So Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks for Michael and Christine, Lord God. We just give you thanks for their obedience, Heavenly Father. And Lord God, I just pray that your word will be a light on their feet, Lord God, that wherever they step, Lord God, your light will be there, Lord God. I pray for wisdom, Lord God, and I pray for discernment to work out that wisdom, Lord God, Heavenly Father, that they will be able to discern what you're speaking to them and the words that you're saying, Heavenly Father. And I just pray for the vision to know where to step, Lord God, because we know that wherever you send them, there will be solid ground, Lord God. But we know that there's shaking to be done, Heavenly Father. So I just pray, Lord God, for the discernment and the wisdom to know when and how to step where they need to go, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we just pray against any lie, any deception, Lord God, of the enemy, Lord God, that they will be guarded, Heavenly Father, that your voice will be so much louder than any lie or any deception of the enemy, Lord God, that your voice will be so clear that they will be able to grab every thought captive, Lord God, that is not of yours, Heavenly Father. And we just give you thanks for your wisdom. You said that we should ask for it. So I just give you thanks for the wisdom that you're giving to Michael and Christine in this time, Lord God, in this new season. And we just give you thanks for ground to be shaken, Lord God. We just give you thanks for hard ground to become soft and pliable in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God, we just thank you as a church for Michael and Christine and Benji. God, thank you for what they've been to us over this last few months, Father God. Thank you for the leader that they are, the friend, the little buddy of Benji. God, I just pray that you would just hold them up. God, would they know that we're backing them from here. But God, I just pray that, God, as they sink back into life in Zambia, God, that they would just gel, that it wouldn't be hard, all those things that are worrying them, Father God. Would you just let that at ease, Father God. God, over Benji, I just pray right now. God, I pray that as he goes into schooling, as he finds friends again, as he finds life again in a different country, God, I pray that you would bring him up to be like his parents, Father God. And God, that he would have that heart for mission, Father God, that he'd have that heart after you, first and foremost, Father God. And God, would your spirit come upon him, that as he grows, that he will be an example, Father God, that he will show your love, that he will show your grace upon people. And God, we just thank you so much for the blessing that it is to have them with us. But God, we're so excited to hear what you're going to do in their life, Father God. God, every brick wall that they think they've come up across, every wall that they think is closed, this time that you were here was not in vain. That's just what I get. But it actually is establishing the next. God, we just thank you for your word.
Lord, we just think of this ministry, Lord, how the beginnings of it, Lord, how they stopped for the one. And Lord, we just pray for those many others ones that are out there, Lord. I pray that as Michael and Christine step back on that soil, God, that they would still see that one. Lord, they would see the one, Lord, that is crying out for help, God. Lord, so we pray that there will be many ones that will come across their path and they would be touched by you, Jesus. Lord, that they would be equipped to deal with everyone that they come across. So, Lord, we just bless Michael and Christine and Benji, God, as they step onto that soil. May the Holy Spirit touch them. And Lord, may we see amazing miracles because they have said yes. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Michael, I've got a few words for you, actually. God said when he calls you in, he calls you in to do his work. But then he also calls you out to rest. so he can work on you. And that's what we all need. When we work and we do the calling for God, God also wants us to rest so he can work on ourselves, so he can strengthen us to go back in. And it's a new season for House of Hope. It's a new season where the walls are going to come down. Not literally, but the walls are going to come down. And the soldiers are going to go into the communities. And they're going to touch lives again. And they're going to bring people in. The door's no longer closed, but they're open in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Michael, strong and bold. These are words I got while I was just waiting for the baptism. Strong and bold, knowing the call from God and always going forward. Christine, nurturing and comforting, the heart of the ministry, always stopping for the one. Benji, patient and chosen, a child of the one and brought into the hands to be the chosen for the next. It's a new season for House of Hope. If anyone's been there, you guys would know that these guys work tirelessly. Not for themselves, but for others. That's why God brings them back to Australia, so they can rest. Because there's no rest in Africa for them, because there's work to be done. So as they go out, we know they're coming back for rest, and they're always going to be part of us. Not just part of our church, but part of our lives, part of our family and friends. Heavenly Father, we just bless Michael, Christine, and Benji. As they go back into Africa to do your work, Lord God, may you protect them and cover them, Lord God, on the plane ride there, Heavenly Father, as well, Lord God. We just pray, Lord God, for the staff that are holding down the fort today and yesterday, that they would be continuously covered by your spirit, Heavenly Father. May you guide them, Heavenly Father. Thank you for their lives, Lord God. Thank you for every life that walked through the doors of House of Hope. May they leave different, Lord God, when they came in. Bless this amazing family, Lord God, as they continue to do your work, stopping for the one and the next and the next and the next and the next. May you bless the roads going into the compound, Lord God. May you fill those holes, Lord God. May you bless their vehicle, Heavenly Father, that goes in and out every single day. We bless them, Lord God, as they do the work for you. May you comfort them. May you nurture them. May you lift them when they're feeling weak. May you come into their sleep, Heavenly Father, into their dreams, Lord God, and give them visions, Heavenly Father. Bless them, Lord God. And we just thank you for their lives, Lord God. This is not goodbye. This is see you later. Bless you. Bless you and your family. Amen.
All right, is the band up? We're going to sing Good News. And then while the eggs are getting... While the eggs are getting hidden and the sausages are getting cooked, let's sing Good News.
The good news, if you're breathing, is for you. An empty grave, a life that's changed, it all points to Jesus' name. If you be searching and nothing's been working, I've got good news. Jesus loves you. Oh, he's in love with you, no matter your unbelief. Oh, he's in love with you from now till eternity. He's still in love with you.
This is the good news. If you're breathing, it's for you.
An empty grave, a life that's changed. It all points to Jesus' name. If you've been searching and nothing's been working, I've got good news. Jesus loves you.
All right, happy Easter, everyone. If you want to stick around and get a sausage sizzle, they won't be long, and then we're just going to have an Easter egg hunt for the kids. If they've been making their bags, they can fill their bags soon as it's happening. So just mingle and say hello. If you want to be baptized, come see us because the pool's still hot. And we've got spare towels, so...